Okay, everyone. I hear more people coming on. Okay, it is 3 p.m. November 10th, 2022. This is a regular scheduled meeting in the Lindsay's Borough Assembly. Roll call.
Paul.
Paul, yay.
Brenda.
Yes.
Denise.
Here.
Chris.
Here.
Carol.
Here.
Warren.
Here.
Holy baby.
And Josie is excused. Daly.
Here.
Samantha. Samantha. Tom. Tom. We have a call.
Okay. Thank you. King Cove office, who do we have?
This is Jackie, along with Warren, Brenda, and Chris.
Thank you. Cove Bay?
Yes, in Cove Bay we have Lori and myself.
Thank you. Nelson Lagoon. Falls Pass. Sandpoint is Beverly and myself, Alvin. Acatan City Office. Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Speck, this is Annie. I have Glenora, Talia, Ernie, Charlotte, Laura, as well as Denise, Carol, and Paul.
Thank you.
And Paul Mueller's here as well.
Hi,
Mayor. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes. Very good. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
I make a motion to adopt the agenda. This is Chris.
This is Brenda. I'll second it.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Any additions, corrections to the agenda? Anyone sees?
Oh, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not on the agenda. However, it kind of is. When it comes to assembly comments at the end of the meeting, I plan to talk a little bit about the, you know, our next meeting will be the Canvas Committee, confirmation of the ballots, I guess. I want to talk a little bit about the Canvas Committee and the ballots from Falls Pass, but I'll do that under assembly comments. I'm just kind of giving a heads up. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, hey, Chris here.
Sure, Chris.
Hey, I was just going to mention something later to when it gets to council. It sounds like the grant got approved for Falls Pass and Cold Bay and Accutan for the next phase of GCI fiber optics going into those communities. So I was going to kind of bring that up a little bit. I haven't read too much about it, but it sounds like it's been approved and gone through. So.
Okay, that sounds good. Others? Okay, if there's no objection to the agenda as presented, I'll consider it passed. Okay, any public comments on our agenda at this time? All right, Anybody feel like they may have a conflict of interest with any of the items on the agenda? That would be a good time. Minutes. So we need a motion and a second to approve. We have two sets of minutes, October 13th and October 18th special meeting.
Mayor, just had one quick question. I see the minutes we certified that first part of the election are not on here. That's coming later. I'm not sure if I got it right. Maybe it's hard to read on my phone. So I just have a general question. I didn't find it anyway. Maybe.
So, Mayor, October 13 regular meeting minutes are in here, and October 17 special meeting minutes are in here.
So I'm looking at refresh my memory on the dates.
October 17th was the special meeting.
Special meeting, okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. I wish I had my packet in front of me. Thank you.
This is Brenda. Could I make a motion to approve October 13th and October 17th special meeting as a block, please?
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second it. This is Carol.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Any discussion on the minutes for October 13th? Any discussion on October 17th? Hearing none. Unless there's an objection, the minutes will stand as presented. Okay. Financial report is in your pocket, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, first the motion, I guess. Okay, we need a motion and a second to bring the financial report before us.
Denise,
this is Brenda. I'll make a motion to bring September 2022 financials to the table, please.
I think it was Denise, and then Brenda, I'll put you as a second. Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, our second assembly in the packet is the September 2022 financials. One item just to bring to note is the raw fish tax line item, which is R01218 on page one. The September month to date amount reflects both the August fish tax value, which is roughly $627,000, and it also reflects the September 2022 value, which is about $488,000. In the future, we will be reporting the financials or the tax revenue for that month in that month. So, for instance, in October, it will show the October fish tax revenue. So, hence, this time there's two, so we can catch up and do that in October. Based off of that, for August, we are about 114% over the five-year average, which is great news. And then for September, about 125%. Of the five-year average, so we're doing quite well so far. And overall, through September, we're at 58% of what we anticipated receiving from fish tax. Other than that, I do not have any other comments. Everything else is tracking as it should. And with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions on the financial reports?
Just have one, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Annie. You mentioned about the fish tax revenue, which is good, but as a lot of people remember, we had our financials were presented to us a month more current, but I guess I got a little more confused is all. But so people who don't look at the financials all the time, how will they know that these financials for fish tax revenue are different than the rest of the financial report? Or you just have to remember that you presented it and that's the way it's going to be? Or will there be a little parenthesis designating the fish tax revenue as a month earlier? Or how will the public know?
Well, that's accounted for in the financial reporting system, but I guess me saying it now, it's on the record that now it's both. I don't really know any other way to do that.
Yeah, unless there was a little notation alongside it, perhaps might be useful for some people. Like me, maybe I'll forget it.
Okay. I mean, we can do that. That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can do that on the system, but I might be able to do that for the record.
And then, while I'm fishing, I just had a follow-up question, Mr. Mayor, on the, looks like our crab revenues are going to be, in particular from Bering Sea, King Cove, are going to be down a little higher, perhaps, from the peninsula, Baradai, and a little bit higher on the Bering Sea, Baradai. But I don't know how much money we get out of the crab. We, in the past, have gotten out of the Bering Sea crab, but we won't know that till the season's over, I guess. But just trying to read ahead, but I guess so there's some good news in our revenues and some not so good news, I guess. But thank you.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Paul?
Me. Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Your investment report is in the packet and for you to go over. And Annie, you have any comments?
Yeah, I'll just make one comment. So I did check the value of the permanent fund this morning. And what's reported in the current, what's in the packet for the end of September 30th, 2022 is about $40.5 million, and that has since increased to about $42.07 million. So it just shows how volatile my market is. It's going up and down constantly, but it has increased since the end of September.
Okay, that's good news. Anybody have any comments or questions on the APMC, APCM account? Okay. Okay, we don't have anything under consent. We don't have any public hearings, but no ordinances. We do have four resolutions. So I need a motion and a second to bring resolution 2322 to the floor, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract agreement between the Aleutian Deesborough and Hickey and Associates for lobbying consulting services for 2023.
This is Carol.
This is
Brenda, so moved.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. And I'll put Brenda down a second. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ostermeyer Stubbley. So Resolution 2322 is before you. As you know, the borough is involved in numerous projects and issues that require assistance from a state lobbyist. Mark Hickey with Hickey & Associates has provided lobbying and consulting services for the borough with the Alaska Legislative and Executive Branches since 1998. The FY22 contract with Hickey & Associates ends on December 31st, 2022 and can be renewed by the agreement of both parties. The proposed 2023 contract would commence on January 1st, 2023 and end December 31st, 2023. The borough would pay Hickey & Associates a retainer of $3,500 a month and reimburse them for pre-approved extraordinary out-of-pocket and travel expenses if those occur. Hickey & Associates would pay the annual APOC registration fee and normal office overhead. And with that, administration recommends approval. If there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie?
I just had a general question, Mr. Mayor. The usually about 10 seconds after the election, the Senate and House announce a coalition and who's the Speaker of the House. And I haven't heard anything, or, you know, President of the Senate. But has anybody heard anything? Just a time to ask a question, that's all. Maybe they haven't figured it out yet. Apparently not.
figured it out.
No, that's still out there. They haven't finished the election yet.
Okay.
I guess
other comments or questions? Carol.
I just have a comment. This is exactly what we paid them last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not even inflating.
No increases. No.
Right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
It's the same amount as last year.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So we need a motion and a second on Resolution 2323. Allocates the Aleutians East Borough's local assistance and tribal consistency fund monies in the amount of $2,038,800. For motion.
This is Denise. I'll make
this
a motion.
This is Brenda. So moved.
Okay, thank you, Denise. Brenda, a second. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ashback and Assembly, before you use Resolution 2323, on September 29th, 2022, the U.S. Treasury launched the Local Assistance and Tribal Consistency Fund, also known as the LATCF, for eligible revenue-sharing counties and boroughs. The American Rescue Plan appropriated $2 billion to Treasury across fiscal years 2022 and 2023 to provide payments to eligible revenue-sharing boroughs and eligible tribal governments for use on any governmental purpose except for lobbying activities. The borough will receive $2,038,800 in LATCF funds. On October 6th, the administration applied for the funds through the Treasury submission portal. On October 17th, the borough received the first tranche of money in the amount of $1,019,400. This has been moved to an AMLET portfolio for accounting purposes, and administration anticipates receiving the second tranche of funds in January or February 2023. Administration has reviewed the expenditure guidelines for these monies. It's been determined that the borough has a broad discretion on uses of the funds, similar to the ways in which they may use funds generated from their own local revenue sources. There's a list in here, but it can be used for health services, educational services, capital expenditures, infrastructure investments, long-term economic development, general government operations, and also meeting another federal program's non-federal match or cost-sharing requirements unless it's barred by statute or other applicable law. So there's more, but that's just a general overview of what the monies can be used for. Administration has reviewed and recommends allocating the borough's LATCF funding for maintenance projects, grant match requirements, or to pay for a portion of the second 10% owed to the Army Corps of Engineers for the Actan Harbor project. The borough assembly would approve any projects or uses of the funds before the money was expended. And a few examples of like grant match requirements is we have the Sandpoint School deed grant. We have to have a 35% match for that, which is about $1.9 million. So that could be used for part of that. And also we will owe approximately $3.4 to $3.8 million for the second 10% of the Actan Harbor project to the Corps. We haven't received the final accounting yet. But those monies could be used for that as well. And as I mentioned, anything we do will come before the assembly, but this gives us some guidance on what we can present. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions or comments for Annie?
Mr. Mayor, during the workshop, Warren made some good comments, and but, you know, all these funds we've been getting the last couple of years with COVID and transportation, it's easy to get confused. I'm guessing Annie's the only one. She probably has everything memorized. But maybe at the next meeting or so, we could have just a summary page of these monies and what we've used them for and which ones are still available, because it's really easy to get lost, at least for me. I think we've been putting the money to pretty good use, and I'm sure we have. But a summary page probably be helpful, at least to me and maybe others too. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments?
Mr. Mayor, Chris here.
Good, Chris.
Is there any way that we can get, it doesn't have to be done, right away, but I'm just kind of interested in how much money we've actually put into the school over there in Sandpoint. I know to build a new school is real expensive, but I just keep seeing us just keep putting bandage after bandage after bandage, and I'm just kind of curious as to how much money over the last several years we put into that school, and maybe we need to start looking, at replacing that school sometime, because it seemed like we go $1 million here, $600,000 here, and that's just some of my thoughts.
Okay. That's, yeah, we had this discussion, I think, probably a couple of years ago now, but, maybe it's something we should put on the agenda to have another discussion on again when all of this information could be gathered. And I know we've gotten a engineer's report on the structure itself, and we did talk about that in the past, that basically the structure, the bones of the building are fine. It's some of the other parts of it that we're working on now and replacing. But, at some point we may want to have this as a discussion item and bring all of the assembly up to speed on where some of this is. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. Anne, you had anything to add?
No, I just added that to my to-do list.
Okay. Other comments on the resolution?
Warren here in Kinko. I would like to make a comment on this to maybe prioritize this money for actually the schools, and I know that's why boroughs are formed, to take care of their education in schools. So if we could maybe get a priority list and what we want to use this money for before we throw it at some boat harbor, I'd like to see that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. So all the assembly, I'm sure everybody knows, but that's always been our number one priority, is our school system and the children. So if we've got if we need the match to finish up what we're doing over on this school and the project starts, then that may be a good place. But this is something that we'll bring back here so everybody can think about it some. Other comments?
Mayor, this is Daleen Kobe.
Here.
That could be something.
Go ahead, Daleen.
That could be something we could talk about in our strategic planning too. That could be like a top priority thing to add to our planning.
Okay, that's an idea. Others? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2324, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Core Data LLC to develop a salmon fleet management portal in the amount not to exceed $25,900. We need a motion and a second to bring this to the floor.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Second, Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Charlotte.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So Resolution 2324 is before you. As you know, commercial fisheries are the economic cornerstone of the borough and its communities. Administration and natural resources have been directed to maintain, protect, and strengthen our existing fisheries and support strong fisheries advocacy. To do that, the Natural Resources Department has been collaborating with local fishermen and our partners quite a bit to prepare for the upcoming 2023 Board of Fisheries meeting. Some of you may be aware during the 2022 season, local Area M fishermen voluntarily implemented self-management measures in an effort to reduce chum harvest in June. Using fleet-based solutions proved very successful, and chum harvest was maintained at historical levels. After discussion with the fleet leadership groups, it was determined that a more formal infrastructure was necessary to make fleet-based solutions a sustainable and long-term option. The Natural Resources Department has contacted CoreData LLC to develop a salmon fleet management data portal, which will provide the fleet leadership with the real-time data they need to make in-season fishing decisions. In a way that is defensible and documented. In order to expedite portal development prior to the upcoming meeting in February, the Natural Resources Department is requesting that the mayor receive authorization to negotiate and execute a contract with CoreData LLC in an amount not to exceed $25,900 and will be paid out of the fisheries research account. And you should have all received an additional document from Beverly, which is just a resume for Eric Torgeson, who's a partial owner of CoreData and would be working on this project. So with that, the Natural Resource Department recommends approval of Resolution 2324, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Charlotte. And to add to that, you know, I think with the upcoming February Board of Fish meeting that this would help, I think, our case quite a bit as to what we are doing to try and solve some of the issues that are going to be before the board, whether they're actual or if they're political, whatever. But I think it's a good step in the right direction that we're being positive in dealing with this. So with that, I'll open it up for questions for Charlotte from the Assembly.
Mr. Mayor, Charlotte, we talked about the workshop quite a bit, the subject in general. But is there a specific time frame attached with this contract? I call it a small contract, but what time frame is associated with it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you. So we are actually hoping, it's already November, I think our plan is to have a working sort of mock portal with mock data by probably December, and then have it get some feedback from a lot of different people, mostly, you know, people who are going to be using it, and then have kind of a what we're calling a presentable version in January. And then after that, and everybody feels good about it, then we'll move forward with developing like a full-fledged portal. We'll have to collect waivers from everybody who participates, but then we'll plan to have it ready to go by June. So, you know, we'll do like piloting with the fleet and everybody in May, and then by June it'll be up and running and usable.
Okay. Other questions?
Just a comment. I was probably off track on my timing earlier. When I was commenting, I was thinking it being more useful for the Board of Fish process, but we're looking at the fishing season being when this would be applied, I guess. Just to clarify, I started thinking Board of Fish right off the top, and I was wrong, and I guess.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I think it's both. I think, of course, the use of the portal itself is most important during the fishery, but I think the hope is to have something presentable for the meeting to be able to talk to board members if needed, and kind of have something ready to go that shows that this is a tangible tool that's available and that they're using. So kind of both, yeah.
Okay. And I and Charlotte, I would expect that at the Florida Fish meeting, you would probably want to do a presentation to the board on this particular portal that you folks are designing, so they have a good understanding of it. Would that be correct?
That's a great question. I think we've talked about that, and possibly, yes. I think we're just kind of trying to figure out what's the best way to deliver it. But yes, I think that's in the realm of possibilities.
Okay, that was a gentle hint.
Sorry.
Okay, Warren here to make a comment.
Go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, thanks for the time to speak here. But anyway, we, with all the entities involved in the AREM fishery, that when we're all able to come together and get some of these, we get in position to be able to, I guess we got to fight for our right to survive out here. It's a good way to do it when everybody's cooperating. And for the borough to be able to put some money forth to help out with this portal to make all the fishermen, I know everybody, even the processors, all gave money to the Seiners Association. I know that Concern Area will work with us on this also to bring in the science to our fishery, and that's the only thing that's really going to save us out there is the science right now, because I think that sometimes when people bring proposals forth to the fish board that they don't have the science backing them up because they didn't do their homework, and that this might, you know, this will always help when everybody's working together. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Warren. Other comments? Okay. Question on the motion.
Vinny?
Yes.
Josie? Oh, Josie's not here, sorry.
Oh.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Please?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So our last resolution is 2325 relating to disposal of surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supplies. Need a motion and a second?
This is Carol. I'll make the motion.
Denise, I'll second.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Denise. So, with that, Glenora?
Hi, good afternoon. As Mayor Osterbach said, this is a resolution to dispose of supplies that are no longer needed by the borough. This is just a process we have to go through every time we have items we no longer need and want to sell or just get rid of. This resolution has two items, a Dell monitor and a mobile desk, located here in the Anchorage office. These were purchased a few years ago and are no longer needed. If this resolution gets approved, I will create a surplus advertisement, which will be public for everyone to see and know what we're bidding. And it will include the minimum bid, pictures of the items, where it's located, and when you have to get the bids in. If we receive no bidders, we can sell the items at the minimum bid, or we can post again to give people more time to see what they could potentially purchase. If anybody has any questions, I can try to answer them.
And Glenora, I think too, also at that time, if we don't get any bidders and nobody wants them, we can just then take them to a disposal site or landfill or whatever, right?
Yes, we can. Sorry, forgot to mention that.
Yeah. Questions on Resolution 2325 for Glenora?
Thank you.
Is this the same as changing somebody's lock on their door?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm checking. People are nervous around here. I'm putting on this, their desk. Okay.
Thanks, Liz. Show up one day and your desk is not.
Okay. Any real question? All right. Since we don't have any questions on it, question on the motion.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes, me. Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Bailey?
Yes.
Moses Berry.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. So, we don't have anything under old business, but we do have a couple items under new business. Federal lobbying service discussion, Annie?
Yes. So the borough has engaged Robertson Monagle and East Dow PC for federal lobbying services for numerous years. Brad Gilman has been the primary point of contact and has assisted in numerous lobbying activities for various borough projects. On October 10, 2022, Mr. Gilman stated that in November 2022, he will be dramatically scaling back his workload and will be moving into semi-retirement. In recognition of this decision, Robertson Monagle and Eastow will disband the law firm effective December 31, 2022. Steve Silver has decided to continue practicing law and engage in lobbying, but will do so under a new corporation. And then a new corporate entity will be formed under Alaska law titled Robertson, Monagle, and Eastow LLC. The new firm will be engaged in federal government consulting and lobbying activities. It will not be a law firm, and there will be no employees engaged in the practice of law. Sebastian O'Kelly and Rick Marks will run the firm, overseeing the day-to-day work and all the administrative functions, and Brad will be assisting with substantive issues relating to the borough, including providing institutional knowledge of the borough's decade-long efforts in Washington, D.C., strategic advice to the mayor and administration, attendance at meetings and participation in calls as necessary, and to engage in direct advocacy when there is a serious issue facing the borough. Mr. Gilman has never engaged in legal work for the borough, so there should be no confusion about the new corporation's role. With the changes in operation, administration would like to keep the assembly involved in any decisions going forward. The borough is currently paying Robertson Monagle and Eastow PC $6,500 per month or $75,600 annually for their services. Administration can determine three potential paths moving forward. One is to stay status quo. Two is to go to the open market, which is outlined in Section 3.02.200 of our code, or you could issue a request for a proposal for these services. Administration does recommend entering into a contract with Robertson Monagle and Eastow LLC and kind of staying status quo. And with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. And I am looking for a motion from the assembly on where they'd like me to go with this. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. So before I open it up to questions, just so for those assembly members that haven't been with the assembly that long, when Brad Gilman left employment of Senator Ted Stevens, he started his own firm, which was about the same time the borough came into being. And so we were Brad's very first client. And so he's been with the Aleutians East Borough since he started his company, and now he's getting ready to retire. So that's, what is that, a 35-year run with us. And he's done a lot of work for the borough, a lot of good for us, got us a lot of funding. The two that are going to remain and keep the company going are people that we work with quite a bit, well respected. So the suggested route that we go, the recommendation from the borough is to stay with the company. So, and I do wholeheartedly back that. But anyway, I'll open it up for discussion from the assembly.
Mr. Mayor, I'd make a motion to get it on the floor if that would be appropriate.
Yes.
And I'd move that the borough enter into a contract with Robertson Monagle Eastaugh LLC.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
Okay. And Mr. Mayor, if I may briefly state that Mr. O'Kelly and Mr. Marks have been around a long time, and I don't think it'll be a big change, but we are going to miss Mr. Brad Gilman, and he's been a big help over the years. I'd have to do one question on this memo. Number three, at the end, before the recommendation, says issue a request for proposal for these services, but it's right after number two, which talks about a different limit, but number three refers to the memo of a whole. It doesn't refer to number two, I guess. At first, when I read it, I said, oh, this, what? It confused me a little bit.
So option two with the open market, I can ask for three quotes because it's less than $100,000. Issuing a request for proposals is a more formal process, so we'd actually issue the RFP that outlines all the qualifications, and then they have to submit a proposal back to us, so it's a little bit more entailed.
But number three doesn't mean it's going to go over $100,000. That's what I thought it meant.
It could go over $100,000.
But right now it isn't. It's no. 76 yeah. or whatever. Okay, it was a little, I wasn't following it very well. Thank you.
Other comments on the motion? Okay. So before us, we have a motion to retain the services of Eastaugh Montague and LLC. I can't get the name right. So, if there's no other comments on it, you want to repeat the motion? Do you have it written? No, not yet.
So,
Paul, would you repeat the motion?
I didn't write it down. Andy wrote it down.
I did. So, the motion is to have the borough enter into a contract with Robertson, Monagle, and Eastaugh LLC.
Okay, thank you. So, if there's no other comments, I'll call a question on the motion.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Bailey?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. And under new business, second item is the King Cove office, and we did some discussion on this in the workshop, but Annie, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, so the King Cove office has some significant damage to the building. During the recent storms, excessive amounts of water have begun protruding in the back office. The floor is wet, et cetera. Mold has been identified in the facility. So we're working on repairing the immediate damage by patching up the window, et cetera, to stop the water intrusion. But in the meantime, we went out and solicited for lease space within the community. We did receive two responses, one for a house and one for office space in the old school that the city of King Cove owns. Both facilities have been looked at, and the office space from the city and the school is the more suitable option. So we've received a lease agreement from the city, which I've reviewed, and the attorneys during the break, he responded to me and has approved to form. So we'd like to enter into an agreement with them $750 per month for the space, and that does include utilities except phone and internet. And with that, we would enter into that very quickly, get them out of there next week, and then I'll bring back in the December meeting a resolution to approve the lease, because it's government to government. It can be done via resolution rather than ordinance. So really, I just wanted to inform everyone what is occurring, and then we will be looking at a long-term solution, which may include tearing down the building and rebuilding, and other options that we haven't thought of yet. But anyway, that's just a status update of where we're at, and if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie?
Ms. Mayor, I had two quick ones. She mentioned the old school. Is that the same old school that we gave to the city of Ginkgo?
Yes.
Okay. And then I happened to be on a plane yesterday, too, and the builder of the Ginkgo office that has water damage now was on a plane. Anyway, he's around, Mr. Coso. Might not be a bad idea to talk to him just to get some background information on that build. That's all. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay. So, Annie, you didn't need a motion, right? You didn't need
no.
a action on this?
No,
okay.
No action.
Very good. All right. So, since we did discuss this quite a bit, that's a workshop, so that's fine. So, we're down to reports and updates. So, Annie, you could lead off.
Yeah, of course. So my report is in the packet. The first thing is I know I was requested to provide an overview of all the monies we've received, but we have received some Corona state and local fiscal recovery funds called SLRF funds from the federal government, and we have received both tranches of money, and those were allocated at a prior meeting, so I'll have a breakdown of that for you in December. We also received the local assistance and tribal consistency funds. You just passed a resolution today on that. So I've got some general guidance, and I'll bring back any projects or expenditures before the assembly before we move forward on anything. Sandpoint Harbor Float Project, on October 26th, we have received advance notice from our lobbyists in Sullivan's office that we received the PID grant in the amount of $5.365 million. Which is very, very exciting. This was our second or third attempt, and we received the money. And so we have the $5.3 million from that, and we have the $4.1 million from the state. So we have about $9.49 million for this project, which is thrilling. I think I was on cloud nine for a couple days to get that money. So we're in the process of beginning that process now, of moving forward with that, but I don't anticipate construction until 2023 with a completion date of 2024 because of supply-demand issues, et cetera. So, but we've got the money, and we'll be moving forward with that. Accutan Essential Air Service, we received two proposals from USDOT that were submitted. One was from Grant Aviation and Maritime Services that provided services between Unalaska, Akun, and then to Accutan and back. And it was two flights a day with no flights on Sunday. And then the breakdown of costs is there. And per that agreement, Grant would be covered in full for their fixed-wing service between Unalaska and Akun. And then the helicopter portion would be covered 50-50 with the borough, which is what we're currently under agreement with now through a helicopter services agreement, but it's a huge cost savings to the borough. Rather than us paying 100% of the helicopter, we pay 50%. The other one is from Raven Connect, which provides service between Unalaska and Akun only. They do not have an agreement with a rotorcraft company or any other transportation link between the island of Accutan and Akun. So their prices also were more expensive on year one and year two for the fixed wing than Grant was. And so after speaking with the city of Accutan yesterday, we will be writing a letter of support for the Grant Maritime link option, which benefits the borough financially. So are there any questions on that? Okay. So Cole Bay, we entered into snowplow services agreement with Apoon LLC on October 28th. That went into effect November 1st, 2022. We had an agreement prior with Aleutian Services, but they informed us that they will no longer be providing those services. So we issued a request for quotes, and Apoon is the only one that responded. So we have entered into a contract with them. King Cove Road update. So as of 1:50, I suppose, during the workshop, we did receive notice that the Ninth Circuit judge voted in favor of the in-bank rehearing to occur in Pasadena on December 12th. We don't know exactly what that entails at this point since we just found out about that, but Steve is looking into it. This is not what we wanted to hear. We wanted them to vote, not vote in favor of it. So as we get more information, that will be provided to you. But that did come out today during the work session.
Annie?
Yes.
If whatever you had in writing, I wouldn't mind looking at a written version of what you have so far, if that's public.
It's just an email. There's actually the hearing itself we could forward. You've got that, right? So we can forward that to the group.
Yes, thank you.
Through
everybody's probably interested in looking at it.
Yeah, so that's new. That just came out a couple hours ago. Sandpoint Pool, Evolution Pools has arrived finally in Sandpoint. They started working on October 27th. They're currently taking care of the demo, build bypass, and some prepare work. There's been some other identified damage there than what we anticipated, so I anticipate getting a change order request that will come back before the assembly before we can conduct the repairs. But essentially, the heat exchanger has a crack, and it's also not meant for salt water, which is what it's used for. So, anyways, change order to follow, but I don't have that dollar amount at this time. At the last meeting, I was asked about false pass harbor bonds and when those would be paid off. So basically, those were issued in November 3, 2016, with a final maturity date of December 1, 2028, and it's subject to prepayment at the option of the borough on or after December 1, 2026. So I was asked for that information, so there it is. The borough has hired Stuart Brandle as the accounting clerk. That's after going out to request or post the position twice. His start date will be Monday, November 14th. Also, the Cole Bay Terminal concession request for proposals was released on October 6th, 2022. We did not receive any responses by the November 3rd deadline, so we will be re-looking at that and figuring out how to get concessions in that facility, whether it be via vending machine and or having somebody physically come in and sell while the plane is in person. But because it's on DOT aviation lease land, there's a lot of requirements with reporting and stuff that makes it more complicated than if we had something in like one of the borough offices or something. So I think it was a little complicated for somebody to do. And lastly, say this for last. yesterday, Mayor Osterbach and I did meet with Trident Seafood. It was a very last-minute meeting, and sorry, I'm like nervous. They provided an update regarding the status of the Acutan plant. They received the bids to build the new facility in both Captain's Bay and in Acutan, and both numbers were shockingly high. So their board of directors denied both proposals and required the company to, one, determine a way to reduce the cost of the project for the Captain's Bay location only, which means they will not be considering building in Acutan, and two, show that they have increased cash flow in the business. Once they show those two options to their board of directors, they will be making a decision this summer on building. And constructing. So basically, it will take three summers for them to construct, so I don't anticipate them to rebuild until 2026 and be operational for season, the A season. And
I don't really know what else to say other than it's not good news. And now we are in the process of strategizing on how to address this financial loss to the borough, how it will impact the city of Acatan, because it will have a huge, huge, huge impact on them. And I've already initiated some things I need to do, which is first off a liquidity analysis and cash flow management plan, which we don't have in place. And my goal is to address the short-term needs of the borough and how to maximize and get the most out of the money we have. And then I'm going to have a detailed, basically, my own mini strategic plan for this topic alone, but we'll be looking at what we owe on, like any debt, any projects, any requirements we have to meet, and then we'll go from there. It's very new, but I wanted to tell you guys because we found out yesterday late afternoon, but I wanted to tell you all at once as well as the staff. So with that, great news, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
I had a, going back a couple of subjects, Annie, when the Sandpoint monies for the new float building, mm-hmm. you said construction 2023, completion 2024. A more important date that I like to think about perhaps is when would the bid notice be released and when would the bid notice takes logistics are a pain for harbors out our way. It takes a long time for companies to kind of get organized. So the sooner we're able to get it out to bid, I guess, the more likely it is they would be working next summer.
We're looking at February 2023.
Okay.
But we're still working on that.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You know, in on that issue, Annie and I have been talking with engineers and others and some of the construction people on material availability and startups of projects that are going all over that have been slowed down by the pandemic. And a lot of the companies that we talk to go later is better cost-wise. As prices are starting to come back down on materials, lumber, steel, bolts, all that. So we're going to move forward as fast as we can, but in some ways, the longer it takes, I'm not talking years, but the longer it takes could be favorable as far as what we'd get for the money that we got. Anyway. Okay.
And of course, Mr. Mayor, that would be ignoring inflation, I suppose.
No, never ignore anything. But that's the best, you know, I'm saying that's kind of one of the things also we're looking at. But yeah, we want to get it done. I think the biggest thing on the Sandpoint Boat Harbor is we need to give a big thank you for the hard work Annie did on being able to get both of the grants, so we're not taking any, right now we're not taking any money out of the pocket of the general fund for the borough for this. That it was pretty, a lot of hard work and really fortunate that we did wind up getting both of them as we did. So that's over $9 million to finish it. And I'm hoping that that's going to be enough. Price of everything is crazy right now. So any other comments for Annie?
This is Carol.
Good, Carol.
I thank Annie very much because since when Sharon was here, remember, we started working on the Sandpoint Harbor to get those floats in. So I guess I could say I'm going out with finally what I fought for however many years. So thanks to Annie, and I hope the floats go in Sandpoint soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. I remember when I came on as mayor, one of the first things Carol told me is, You're going to finish that damn harbor? Other comments for Annie on her report? Okay. Talia.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I'd like to start off with the Deed Sandpoint School application. Quick recap, on August 17th, the borough was notified by CERC that the Sandpoint School major maintenance project would in fact be funded. Not much has changed since the last assembly meeting. We are still waiting to receive the project agreement from Deed. After speaking with CERC, they have notified us that Deed is still in the process of scoring and reviewing the CIP applications. They've been through this process since mid-September, which has subsequently postponed them sending out the project agreement. We, as soon as I do receive it, I will let you guys know. The project agreement will give us a full scope of work that needs to be completed, and the borough does anticipate on negotiating the terms of the agreement, since the foundation work that we did place in there was found unsupported by Deed. So that is something that we fully anticipate on receiving and looking into once it's here. There's a lot of things going on in the wonderful world of maintenance and inspections. Bridge inspections did take place back in September. DOT and Public Facilities Bridges did go out and inspect the bridges in False Pass, as well as King Cove. They do have a three-month deadline from the start date of the inspection to have it completed. We anticipate on receiving those by December 10th in both digital and physical copies. Also, the elevator inspections did take place on October 12th. The mechanic crew with Otis Elevators did arrive to Cold Bay, where they did testing and maintenance to the elevators. I want to shout out a big thank you to Kurt Utech for supporting through that process. Maintenance connection, continuing to oversee everything that's taking place in CERC's MC site in terms of work orders, keeping them on track, assigning labor. We have a lot of things going on with the boiler repairs. On October 17th, Annie did sign into an agreement with Long for the additional repairs to the False Pass School. Long has also inspected and provided statements for the repair of the boilers in Cold Bay, Sandpoint Borough Office, Sandpoint School, as well as a Sandpoint fourplex. Sandpoint School pool repair, I won't be too redundant, as Annie did go over it. October 25th, Evolution Pool specifically, did start the demolition process. And, of course, more additional issues were found. Change order has to take place. We'll wait to see what all the new problems are. Super exciting and fun. And then last but not least, I'd like to end off with the regular meetings attended. October 19th was the start of the strategic planning kickoff. Really informative. I love the fact that we all can get together, go over go over projects, goals, assigned tasks. And that is about it. If anyone has any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Questions? Okay. Appreciate it. Laura.
Sorry, we were muted. I started talking. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly members. Currently, I'm working on a white paper regarding the history and latest developments on the Accoon Dock and Breakwater project. I'm kind of really digging into that now. The goal is to create a concise living document for the borough so administration and the assembly can review what has occurred with this project over the years, as well as up to the present. I'm reviewing strategic initiatives and past assembly packets, administration reports, et cetera. And I plan to send an updated draft to Annie within the next several days. The latest issues of In the Loop were sent out on November 8th, October 27th, 19th, and the 14th. The most recent edition was sent out Tuesday evening, containing the preliminary results for the special election for Assembly Seat E and Seat G. Another edition contained a story regarding Carol Foster, who will soon retire from public service after serving 24 years on the Aleutians East Borough Assembly. The story contained quotes from Carol as well as Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly, expressing their appreciation and gratitude for Carol's many years of service. The issue also contained a press release from Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan announcing the $112 million for Alaska ports and ferry terminals. That included the $5.3 million for the Sandpoint floating dock project. So good news there for sure. The latest edition of Fish News was sent out on November 3rd, and that was packed with comprehensive information. The content was provided by Natural Resources Director Ernie Weiss. It focused on what occurred during the two-day Board of Fish work session on October 25th and 26th. There's also information regarding the two-day Pacific Cod regulatory meeting on the 27th and 28th, which followed the work session. And that was also included in Fish News. I will defer to Ernie for details on both meetings. The Fish News also contained information about the tanner crab seasons in the eastern and western Bering Sea, as well as the state tanner fisheries in the Gulf of Alaska. And the issue also provided info and dates on future AEB fishermen meetings. Recent postings on the borough's Facebook page, including the preliminary results from Tuesday's special elections, and also contained a notice regarding information about a potential lease space available for the borough office in King Cove. Annie went over that earlier, what the latest is with that. We shared a notice from Aleutian Housing regarding a homeowners assistance fund program that assists homeowners living in the Aleutians and Pribilof Islands region with mortgage relief, home ownership costs, and eligible home repairs for those who qualify. So that's good information to share. And we also shared a flyer about the Sandpoint Gym. That's going to be closed from December 23rd to January 6th of next year while the floor is being resurfaced. So we'll probably share that a couple more times just so people are informed about that. Lastly, I'm working on the community alignment initiative of our strategic plan. My role is to highlight for the newsletter borough and or community leaders or community members who stand out for their contributions to their community. Some examples of that may include a teacher, a law enforcement official, a community leader, a volunteer who's made a difference in the lives of others. Recent example, of course, is the newsletter article about Carol Foster. We, in the past, did one about retired King Cove teacher Annette Calver. And our next story will be on King Cove teacher Joy Smith. Our plan is to highlight individuals in both the large and small borough communities. So if anyone has specific ideas on who would be a good candidate for this profile, please contact me. I would definitely be interested and would really appreciate it. Those are some of the projects that I'm working on. If you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Questions for Laura? Okay. Ernie, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to thank the Assembly for passing that data portal resolution. I think it's going to be very useful for the fishermen at the Board of Fish, and thanks very much to Charlotte for all her work on that and previously on that. My report is in the packet. It's a little bit different than normal, as Laura mentioned, and thank you, Laura. Every time I think about putting some out in Fish News, she's ready to go with it, and I appreciate that very much, but all the stuff that I put in Fish News would have gone in my report, so changes up a little bit, but the focus of my report, been extremely busy as the fishery management season has started up, testified at the North Pacific Council, talk about that, plus there was a lot of extra meetings on that. The bycatch review task force sunsets this month. They'll get their report to the governor by the end of the month. They have a meeting on Tuesday, I believe, their last meeting. And then was AFN. And after we had our, we had a Zoom meeting of fishermen, and soon after that, somebody sent me the resolutions that I hadn't been keeping up on, and then I kind of interjected myself into that, and it didn't go very well. And as you've seen, there was a couple resolutions sort of targeting us in a convention with the theme celebrating our unity, and that was just really ironic. But the coalition that's building did draft some letters to thank the Aleut leadership for their good work in trying to defeat those resolutions. So again, I put a bunch of information. If you haven't read it, please look at the November 3rd Fish News. Good information on the Tanner and the Board of Fish and the meetings that are coming up. And a little bit on the Board of Fish here. News-wise, it's I've been listening into AC meetings as I kind of do always, and because need to follow what people are doing. I'm into Chignik's advisory committee and Fairbanks advisory committee, and they are out with knives for us. But I did hear from Gail Vick at the Fairbanks meeting that David Wise, one of the new board members, is going to resign, so we don't expect to see him at the Bristol Bay meeting, and we'll see what happens as far as getting a replacement either before or after the February meeting. We'll see how that works. That's kind of it. Again, I appreciate you looking at the Fish News if you haven't seen it, and I guess going back to the data portal thing, and the Ariam Saners and their coordinated efforts this summer, it resulted in the lowest ratio of chum to sockeye ever recorded, at least since limited entry. And with this new data portal and hopefully good information from the genetic testing that is going on this summer, we'll be in good straits for the Board of Fish. So appreciate your time. I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions? Okay. Charlotte.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is before you, and I apologize. I was not able to give my report at the last meeting. I was very, very sick, but I'm better. So I'll just start with Trawl EM. As Ernie said, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council met in October, and Trawl EM was scheduled for final action at that meeting. As expected, the council moved to adopt alternative two, which is electronic monitoring is implemented on pelagic trawl pollock catcher vessels and tenders, delivering to shoreside processors in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska as the preferred alternative. So that's a lot of words, but basically that was the alternative we were hoping for. It's basically status quo of the EFP that we've been working under. So for me, it's kind of a really big deal. We've been working on this project since 2019, and it has officially passed final action. There are some outstanding regulatory issues that we'll be taking up over the next year, and we do have one more year working under the EFP, but this is supposed to be an implemented regulatory program in 2024. So very exciting for me, at least. I don't know if anybody else cares, but I'm really excited. So anyways, like I said, there's still some outstanding issues, but the council did support having this revised annual opt-in, opt-out for Trawl EM vessels. The 1.65% fee will be used to cover EM-related costs and shoreside observer housing and food, which we pushed for. And then also there will be industry-managed incentive plans and annual reporting for MRA trip limits, which is also kind of good. It's a flexible program, but then the annual reporting ensures that the Western Gulf can kind of keep tabs on what's happening in terms of MRA and trip limit overages that typically occur in the Central Gulf. So that gives us a little bit of teeth. And also, I feel like this is kind of good timing. So if anybody has been tracking what's going on with the bycatch task force, everybody wants 100% observer coverage, which it's a very big deal, and we're partial coverage, so that would be a huge cost, and we're kind of ahead of the curve because all of our boats have Trawl EM systems. So anyway, I submitted the Q3 financial reports. The budget is tracking as expected. Thank you, Jackie, for all of your help keeping me on track. We wrapped up 610 Pollock, Fall Pollock, and as of October 27th, we had 211 trips with 167 that were reviewed and 250 logbooks submitted. I'm so proud of the fleet, and I'm kind of in process of setting up a time to meet with them to really go through final action and look at all the different regulatory components and make sure we're prepared for the next steps. For the fixed gear EM project, our team met with NIMS, the FMA division, to discuss the project goals and sampling design. So we're currently working on a method to be able to identify crab to species and an appropriate sampling design that still works for the boats. As I'm sure you all know, crab is a really big deal right now, and everybody wants to make sure that we're appropriately sampling crab. We also have secured 5 of the volunteer boats for pot cod, black cod fishing to test EM and observers side by side, so that's good. That'll probably happen early next year. For mariculture, also super exciting, finally making some headway. Our local who has been attending the workshops, he went to Kodiak in October to learn hands-on the seed collection process, and he has received the official permit to collect in the Zachary Bay site, so he's working on collecting seed stock right now, which will then be sent to Kodiak to be cultured, and then he'll go back to Kodiak in November to train on how to seed the lines. And then after that, he'll come back and seed the lines in the Zachary Bay site. So all very exciting. Board of Fisheries, thank you all very much for passing Resolution 2324. I agree. I think it's going to be a really, really important tool. And, you know, this has been a very collaborative effort, talking to all the different gear groups and camps and Area M and the department and board members. So I think this is a good step forward. And, of course, Ernie and I are kind of meeting with those partners often to talk about strategy and Board of Fish. Cod tagging, I did include a little figure for you, but I'm not going to go into too much detail. We're still awaiting news for the rest of the funding from PAC State's disaster money for 2023 fieldwork. And all of our 2022 tags have popped up, which is exciting. We're currently analyzing the data, and I'm hoping to have like a full outreach document detailing the results of the 2022 tag releases. But if you look really carefully at that figure, you can see all of the tags that we've released in the Western Gulf and where they popped up. And I also included the Bering Sea tags in there for you to see as well. Sorry, that was a lot, but if you have any questions, please let me know, and thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Any questions for Charlotte? Hearing none.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate all the reports.
Mr. Mayor, just one quick one.
A lot of work. Go ahead.
Yeah, the microphone's sliding away here. Charlotte, thank you for the report. Nice to see you again. I haven't seen you in person for a while, but with the schedule that we get via email, the monthly schedule, many days it has you unavailable. What does that mean? I just wanted to ask you what it means in public.
So I haven't really talked about this. Thanks for that question. I'm in school, so I'm in school to get my master's right now. So I just have a small amount of time that I block off to attend a class, and that is what that is. So I if I have to take a meeting, I skip the class, but I try as much as possible to attend the class if I can. Thank you.
Okay. Sure, I was just telling everybody you didn't want to talk to us. Now you remember.
Never.
Okay, very good. Other questions before we move on here? Do you have anything? Okay. All right, we're down to assembly comments then. So I know Paul had some comments and Chris. So Paul, you want to start out?
Thank you, Mr. First, I had a question first. I know the Canvas Committee is going to meet again for this recent election on Tuesday, but I haven't seen a notice. So has there been one yet to schedule the Canvas Committee? I think last
election that was scheduled on Friday. They didn't have it till perhaps Saturday. And then the assembly met on Monday, 10 a.m. But a couple of weeks ago, the reason I'm asking, a couple of weeks ago I asked, and I thought our clerk mentioned it might be Monday at 10 a.m., and I've got a flight in the afternoon on Monday headed to Seattle, so I won't be near a meeting after that date. But anyway, the first question I had is, when might the assembly meet to review the Canvas Committee report?
Paul, this is Beb. Last November 8th, after the counting, when we received the votes from both Accutane and King Cobe, I did send an email to everyone, assembly members, about the preliminary results. And to look at the bottom of it, the Canvas Committee is listed, the schedule of the Canvas Committee is listed on that email. It's on Monday at 10 a.m. And I am planning to do the special meeting the next day, at least give 24 hours for public notice. So I'm thinking of doing this special meeting on Tuesday.
I think I was up there reviewing what the ordinance says about meetings when you need to call in for to get a quorum. And there is a provision, like particularly this Canvas Committee. So I will be in Seattle. So if there's a quorum lacking, the ordinance does allow that to happen in order to meet a quorum, which would be good to certify whatever the results are. And then the second question, I was unclear what happened to the ballots from False Pass from the first election. Are they still around? Were they counted? I don't know how you voted. I'm not in False Pass, so I don't know how the votes are accumulated. And it did show in the report zero,
yes.
So I don't know what all that means.
Yes, so around the week of September 9th, that's when I sent out all the mail-in ballots for all the small communities. I have not received any until the Canvas Committee counted, and we already postponed it. So we have, took us about almost 2 weeks until we finally get the materials from Accutane, and until then I haven't received anything from False Pass. So there is no ballot to count for them, but after that I received about 7. The other one is postmarked before the election, but the rest doesn't have any dates on it, posted any dates on it. So there's no way, I'm going to be able to count that because the counting is done.
It says
on the code.
All I really wanted to ask at this meeting was perhaps we could have a written version of that at the Tuesday meeting so the assembly could review it. And one of the important things we do, of course, is the elections. And people who voted in general vote on time and in good faith should vote should count. And I'm just trying to make sure that opportunity was there. And in the future, in the next few months, we may have to adopt an ordinance on how we do our canvas counting. Maybe we have to do it by email or Zoom meeting to have a canvas meeting, because our mail service doesn't seem to be getting any better unless somebody's in a different town than I'm in. Seems to be getting worse. But maybe we could have a written report that kind of spells all this out, because we certainly don't want to disenfranchise any. It's kind of been in the news with this disenfranchised voters. We've got to have, if they voted, their vote should be counted. But I'm looking forward to maybe seeing a written version work, you know, includes, of course, this recent Canvas committee meeting we'll have on perhaps on Monday, and I'll be able to get together and report in full to everybody so everything is crystal clear on how we handle elections. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Okay. That's it, Paul?
Yes, that's, I think that covers everything I had. Thank you.
Okay. Others? Chris, I believe.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to bring up, there was a little bit of negativity put out on social media last week in regards to the Aleutians East Borough not supporting fiber optics to Falls Pass and Cold Bay. And I went in line and I looked further into it, and the Native Village of Port Lyons received a $29.3 million grant from the Tribal Broadband Connectivity Program. And this project will bring fiber to 930 unserved households in Chicknick Lagoon, Chicknick Lake, Cold Bay, False Pass, Izinki, and Port Lyons. So I just wanted to clarify that the borough has been in full support of all of the communities within the borough, hopefully getting connected fiber optic wise. And so I was excited to hear that that grant had gone through. The time frame still looks like Unalaska in 2022, King Cove, Sandpoint, maybe the summer of 2023, and then those other communities, which I mentioned, will be 2024. So it's exciting. I know that we've talked a lot about communications out here. We are excited, too. Starlink is up and running, too, and so that has helped tremendously in our communities. But this fiber optics will be, it should be really, really good for all the communities out here. So that's all I wanted to bring up. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I know the borough, the assembly supported adding those other communities in. I remember when we did that. So, no, we've been in 100% in support of all this from the beginning. So,
yeah,
okay.
Mr. Mayor, you can see that article in KMXT. It was a couple of weeks ago. They wrote the same thing about how Cold Bay and False Pass are going to be connected. So that was good. Yeah. Glad Chris brought it up. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Other assembly members have comments.
This is Brenda. What time do you think you're planning on having the special meeting for the election on Tuesday?
10?
Maybe around 10?
Will yeah, 10 in the morning would be good. Thank you.
Okay.
I think that's when we normally do it anyway.
Yeah. 10,
so. Okay. Other comments?
This is Denise. I just wanted to follow up on Paul's comment. Just what happened to the false pass votes if they didn't get counted then? You just hung on to them?
Yes, because per our code, we can only wait up to a certain time because that's the timeline for us to certify the election. I don't have the exact chapter and section where it is written, but I know for sure that we are supposed to receive the ballot in a specific time frame. If I don't receive that ballot in that date, it can't be counted. So it's kind of out of my hands because I am not really sure how long to wait for them to be able to be counted. It's on our code that we can only wait until this time, and it has to be postmarked by election date. If it's postmarked later than the election date, that cannot be counted. If it's received at a certain time,
I was just wondering if, I know we waited for almost 2 weeks for other communities to come in.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard because once we mail it, it's out of our hands. You know, what I can do is to probably look into something that they can vote through email or fax. That's, you know, especially when they start getting faster internet connection, we can look into that and maybe add that to our.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Just, you know, it's really important that everyone's vote counts and that everyone gets a voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if votes didn't get counted, then everyone did not get a voice.
Can I make a quick comment?
Yeah. Well, sure.
I just want to reiterate what Beverly said earlier. We did receive 7 votes from False Pass after we had our canvas committee, but only 1 was postmarked, which they have to be in order for us to count. And then there were a few other ballots from smaller communities who sent in ballots and didn't have an identifier. Like, you have to have either 2 witnesses sign, your date of birth, or Social Security and stuff like that. So we couldn't count some of those either because they didn't follow the instructions that were on the ballots. But we did notify the people we're supposed to. So Beverly sent letters to them letting them know their votes weren't counted.
Yeah, you know, and the biggest thing to remember is everyone's following the rules that are set in place through the ordinances, and nothing was changed or moved around or anything. They followed the plan that's set out for them, and they can't waver from that. They can't make up dates on their own and switch because of weather or anything else. It is what it is, so that's what they have to go by. Other comments?
This is Daly, Kobe, Mayor.
I had a question.
So why were the small communities, why did we have to do mail-in? Why couldn't we have a poll in place, like Sandpoint, King Colvin, Hickaton?
I don't know the answer to that.
Do you? I am not really sure. I mean, I followed what, you know, our previous clerk's timeline is, and I know from her last election that 3 smaller communities is by mail-in only. I can find out if there is an ordinance on that. I don't have the information in front of me right now, but I can, you know, find out for you where it is on the ordinance. For sure it is in the ordinance somewhere.
Yeah,
because it is in our code that there are by mail only 4.4 election by mail persons, by mail only election.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I can find out for the big
election, so I don't see why we couldn't do it for the borough. I mean, you know, we get to come to the polling place to vote for the governor and everybody else. So just a question.
Well, those might be good questions for Beverly to take to the clerk's conference with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And find out how and why they do that. Okay, other comments? Okay then. Do we have any public comments? Hearing none. So our next regular meeting date is December 8th.
Yes.
So,
Alvin, perhaps.
Go ahead.
Refresh everybody's memory on the swamp seat, and excuse me, the AML dates too. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but just to make sure.
On my desk, there's an agenda. I got an agenda here. Hang on a minute. So it is draft agenda. So So Wednesday, November 30th is newly elected official screening. And if you're newly elected, please go. Then December 3rd is the Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks. Sunday is Clerks Academy. And Sunday is also Alaska Municipal Management Association, new manager orientation. And then December 5th, which is Monday, newly elected officials training, Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks, Alaska Municipal Management Association, and Alaska Association of Assessing Officers. And Tuesday, December 6th, is the Alaska Conference of Mayors, Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks, Alaska Municipal Management Association, Alaska Association of Assessing Officers, and Alaska Municipal Attorneys Association. And then Wednesday, December 7th, is Alaska Municipal League and Alaska Government Finance Officers Association. And Thursday, December 8th, is Alaska Municipal League and Alaska Government Finance Officers Association. And Friday, December 9th, is the Alaska Municipal League and the Alaska Government Finance Officers Association. That's what I have so far. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, because there may be more assembly members here, you know, if we have that meeting in Anchorage. I guess we'll all be here at the meeting place on December 8th is our meeting date, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and, you know, for assembly members, if you've got access to the internet, you should be able to just go on the Alaska Municipal League website and you'll be able to download the whole agenda by now, I think. I tried it last week and it was still this one that I read you, but they should have a detailed one in there probably by now. Okay, any other comments? All righty. I am looking for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn. This is Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
This is Brenda, second.
Thanks, Brenda. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you.
Thank you.